Hey, everybody. We are continuing our Porkfest micro series right here. If this is the first installment in this series that you've heard, it is a chronology of all the recorded activities that involved me during the second to last week of June up at Rogers Campground, the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I was pretty busy, not as busy as some, but there was a lot of places I had to be and mics that I had to sit in front of. I shouldn't say had to, that I ran to those mics and I said, is this thing on? Can I talk into it? Will someone record me? So there could be content for this show. True story. Well, this next one is an interesting one. On Thursday night at 10 p.m., we did our live show from the media room using the Free Talk Live equipment. And it was, here's what happened. I had gone home Wednesday during the day to run some errands for some people. And while I was at home, I downloaded a piece of software, bought a piece of software called Manycam. That's a live switching piece of software that allows you to hook up several cameras, many cameras, to it, and then records the output to your hard drive, and you can just switch back and forth, so it's only recording one at a time. This program is shit. Complete and utter shit. The video quality was lower than what I set it to. I couldn't remove their watermark from the videos. The sound quality of the Manycam recordings, even though I had, you know, the mixer output plugged into my input, into the Manycam input, was not good at all. And about 30 minutes into the show, I realized that my computer had frozen. Could have been a separate problem. In fact, it might have been a power supply problem that caused that to happen. But a lot of really, like, I was running around the campground all day saying, wait till you see what I do tonight. We're going to have five cameras, one on the audience, one blah, 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 blah. And it just didn't materialize. I do have some footage, some of the Manycam footage that will probably be salvageable. And the first hour of the show, though, was lost. And fortunately, Steph had somebody there with him. His name was Mike. And thank you so much to Mike for recording this. He had a camcorder set up with a tripod. I mean, he was there to record the whole Stefan Molyneux part of the show anyway. But he wound up staying and recording the whole thing just in case I needed it. I think that other parts of the live show will be different audio. The audio is rough. I had to work on it quite a bit to get it to be listenable, but because of the crowd and the background noise. But I've done my best. The only thing that I couldn't really get rid of was the echo. And I was on forums and all that, and there's just really no way for a non-professional with the equipment that I have to be able to take echo out of a recording. So I think you can get through this. This was a lot of fun. We kept things very, very loose, considering we had this big studio audience. It was a very relaxed atmosphere, and we had a really good time. I was a little stressed about some of these problems, but Stefan Molyneux sat in with us for, I think, almost an hour. It was just about an hour that he was on the show with us, so I'm calling him a guest host. More to come from Thursday night. Thanks. Take care.
They have a whole team. Like, you don't have to worry about anything. Sus. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to School Sucks Live. I'm Brett. With me tonight,
Osborne.
And in our third chair, we're going to try him as a new host. We're going to replace Mandrick. His name is Stefan
Molyneux, and I just wanted to say, I'm melting! It is like 900 degrees in here.
Yep.
Absolutely miserable.
I think it will be probably about 8 minutes until the shirts come off.
Oh. Well, how many cameras do we have?
That it's cold.
We have six cameras on us right now, so that would be, you can see us from every angle.
Every angle, absolutely. And I think you have to build a program that puts real chest hair and head hair, or you get an
afro. No, what it does, that's why we have to, that's why the
Italian mafia match. That's what I want right here.
That's what we have, the panoramic.
Because I bring two or three, and you can just work it from there. Just spread it out.
It just takes the hair from Osborne's back and superimposes it onto your chest.
No, that's too much. That's too much. I don't need that much. Even up here, I don't need that much.
We're really proud of the technology.
And for those who are just listening, I just wanted to point out, Brett has like an n-dimensional video setup here. It's going to be, it sees not just in three dimensions, but into your soul and through time. And it is quite astounding. I can see myself at the age of 7 looking back. It's pretty cool. He's like, what? What happened to all our dreams? Why? We had so many goals and so many plans, and here we are in a hot room in New Hampshire, and that's it. And I'm like, no, this is good stuff, man. We're in the state of the world. It's good.
Well, it's great to have you back at Porkfest. I'm glad you're here again. I'm sure all these people, this huge audience that has come to see us. Know, like if this was the winds up being the first episode of my show they've ever listened to, your website is Free Domain Radio. You want to tell us?
FreeDomainRadio.com. I also wanted to mention that the woo there wasn't for us. It's just because we all just suddenly found out that Osborne is wearing tearaway pants.
Stephanie,
you will see a lot of pixels in the video version. And if you are wearing your 3D glasses, we all just want to apologize ahead of time for blowing your mind.
He's giving a little bit too much away. Like, we agreed. I said, guys, by 12:30, we are going to be in our underpants out here. But he wasn't supposed to...
Underpants? Why do they have to be German? I don't understand. Just say Lederhosen.
We'll see what happens. We're going to be here.
My balls must be restrained!
We will be here past midnight, so if people want to get on the show, even once we go off LRN, we will stay on up here, and we can continue to interview people if people still want to come up that time.
I'm sorry, are we calling this an interview? Is that the plan now? Okay, sorry.
It's suddenly we shift interview. So your website.
Yes, freedomainradio.com. That's right.
And tell us a little bit about that, for those who might not know.
It's blue.
Yep.
There's lots of me and some of you.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, we just started out the Seuss book, or is that just me? I think we did. Well, it's the biggest philosophy show in the world. We just passed about 45 million downloads, most of mine. There's a YouTube channel, freedomainradio.com. Sorry, youtube.com/freedomainradio for people who want to see philosophy in the flesh, which is really not any more interesting than philosophy in the ear. And lots of interviews. Books are all free. Websites free. Membership on the message board is free. And I hope that, it's donation only. So obviously I walked to Porkfest. actually, mostly hitchhiked, which is why I'm in these short shorts. I find that if I put my Daisy Dukes on, I get picked up by entirely the wrong people, which is just what I like. So thanks for picking me up, Brett.
While you're talking about some of your content, you've made some fantastic summary videos or distillation videos for certain topics. This man, as a matter of fact, his company, Think Twice News, is actually, you guys have collaborated on a couple of projects.
We have. He did some fantastic work on some videos, and much appreciated.
And those are some of the videos that you're trying to push as far as viewership. I think the story of your unenslavement, Sunset of the State, just fantastic videos that the guys from Think Twice worked on with you. And currently, while we're on the topic of video, you've actually started to work on a documentary film.
Well, yeah, because the my original plan was not a documentary, but the Free Domain Radio sex tape. But
yeah.
We found that this was the only way to raise money through that was for people to not see it. And since nobody was seeing it anyway. I mean, I just went down to Mises, Brazil, where I found you can make a good living by starting the salsa dance as a white British guy, and having people pay you to stop. You can get a huge amount of money if you destroy their dance with your, stiff board moves. Would you like to see them?
Now, I
do.
You
only think you do, but it will haunt your nightmares. You really don't want it to see that.
I think you're kidding a little bit, but this sex tape idea, I mean, how many people have gotten widespread fame by making a sex tape, right?
I have cleavage. Ever since I went over 40, I'm looking for a man's ear, a bro, what does that call it in clientele? But I am actually we're making a documentary, because if mad Marxist robots can get famous through zeitgeist, then why can't sane, rational, free market ideas become famous through a documentary? So I finished the script, we finished reading the script, I have a celebrity musical guy who's going to do, I can't say the name, but it'll blow your mind when you hear it in the final version. But he's doing the music. We've got project manager, we've got animators, so we've got not just the audio script, but the visuals, like the storyboarding is largely done. So what we're going to do is we're close to finishing the first 5 minutes, and which was actually 4 minutes longer than the sex tape was originally planned to be, for reasons that my wife would cry when explained. But we are going to do the first 5 minutes, and then we're going to hope to raise a little bit of money to finish it, because, you know, it's a little hard, but everyone's volunteering, they all got to eat, and so it's like a little like pushing string to get things done. But we're going to crowdsource some of the funding, and I think people really like it. So it's basically just trying to get people to understand that the issues that we're facing in the world are moral issues. That's the philosophical approach that I think is really valid. Like, what's going wrong in Europe? Well, theft and counterfeiting. And selling off the unborn to foreign bankers. That's a moral issue. And all we ever hear about is the financial effects of these moral issues, and nobody ever is talking about what is going on down in the root. You're violating property rights. You are initiating the use of force. I mean, how can everyone be in debt and lend to each other? I mean, that's completely insane. Or how can you buy your own bonds to get out of debt? That's like sending back your visa bill as payment for your visa bill. I mean, it's completely insane. And so I really want to make the case that if you want to understand what's going on in the world, you have to look at the moral issues. I provide some examples and then advance the theory of ethics that I've been working on for a couple of years called I'm Always Right, which sadly is not gaining the kind of traction outside of me that I was hoping. But and then making the case for what needs to change. And I think I'm trying to keep it at about 50, 55 minutes.
Yeah.
Because for the MTV generation and the internet generation, I think that's about 3 weeks. And that's a lot to ask. For most of you who've stopped listening for a while ago, you'll hear this later, maybe understand what I'm saying. But I think if I can keep it 50, 55 minutes, there's some comedy in it. And I try to read it like Marlon Brando. When I was in theater school, Marlon Brando was the guy. You know, yeah. You wanted to be like Marlon Brando. And when I read his autobiography, I read his biographies of him, you wanted to be like him as an actor. And he, you know, if you know this, when he was in...
Those of you who are not... If you listen to Marlon Brando and you don't have the video to help you, that was Steph being attacked by...
It's an FBI drone. It's a really small one.
This is School Sucks Live. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Show was a little buggy.
I went right in my ear.
He's trying to burrow, man.
It's like the zombie
brains.
It seems like it's everything is Hey everybody, welcome back to School Sucks Live. We are live from Porkfest in front of a beautiful, wonderful studio audience. How's everybody doing? Pretty good. I'm Brett, with me is Osborne. You guys
are... Yes, I'm here. But yeah. I thought we weren't doing that thing anymore.
Oh, yes. We talked about moving beyond the copying the Free Talk Live intro style of I'm this and you're that and then you're... Yeah, I would introduce everybody and then at the top of the hour we would just each introduce ourselves. A little behind the scenes for you. In our third chair tonight, though, Stefan Molyneux from Free Domain Radio. Steph, thanks again for being here with us. And when we went to the break, you were talking a little bit about this documentary film.
Yeah, so this like little moth scooter flew into my ear.
Yeah. Oh, and then I were attacked.
Very quite exciting. I thought I was actually being hit with inspiration because that's almost exactly what it feels like. It's being dive bombed by a tiny moth. But it turned out it was just a tiny moth. So that was actually kind of cool. But yeah, so talking about this documentary, I would really like for us to be able to get the ideas out to a generally consumptive audience. And so, you know, when you hear these libertarian documentaries, what do they sound like?
The Fed is dangerous.
Like ominous music, and it's like the shock of liberty is circling under the boat. You know, it's like, you know, so I try to like talking about Marlon Brando, he actually, when he was doing his movies later in his career, he would have people hold up his lines just next to the camera.
Yeah.
And I thought this was because he was lazy.
He was extremely lazy and people...
No,
didn't...
he had a theory.
Okay.
He had a theory, which was, I mean, one of the problems with movie sets, actually didn't make a movie, one of the problems with movie sets is like 99% of it is just sitting around.
Yeah.
And then you've got to do this incredible bit of acting, and then he said, you know, he was saying, you know, you do this great monologue, and then someone says, and you know, you're exhausted because you cried or you've done whatever, right? And then someone says, oh, listen, we need you to do it, but we need you not, like, just half an inch, because the light, you know, was not right. And mm-hmm. it's really tough to keep it spontaneous, and so... The reason he had people off camera was so that he wouldn't know his lines, in a sense, until he would just glance at them, and then they were more spontaneous for him. That was sort of the idea behind what he was doing. So I tried to read the script, not with the sort of the ominous libertarian death march, you know, the Gregorian chant of future hell that goes on in a lot of these documentaries, but to read it like I was just thinking of the ideas in the moment.
Right.
So I tried to sort of keep it more lively that way, and we've got some really great animators who are making some, I think, some very funny animations for, like, to make the arguments, because it's a very serious topic, but you want it to be engaging. So really that's the goal of what it is that I'm working on, and it really is with the support of the community, the donators, people who are donating time and effort and energy. Anyone who wants to, just shoot me an email, host@freedomainradio.com. We've got a great project manager, Julia, who's, you know, getting libertarians to do things in a coordinated fashion is a little bit like herding sheep when everyone's on drugs, including the sheep. And so cats. I think cats. Yeah, cats works better. Forget the sheep. Sheep are gone. We're in with the cats. But, so yeah, if anyone wants to help out, it would be really, really appreciated. But we're hopefully going to get it done 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Because I think time is of the essence. I would really like to get it out before the election, so that people can understand that changing the hood ornament on the car that's running you over is not the same as not getting run over. Do I want the guy with the short hair or the long hair? That's really important. So yeah, so that's the plan that I'm working on at the moment.
Well, it's an exciting new step, and it's also you know, something that's been valuable about your work for me for years is that you have moved away from all of these things that I think are, and Osborne and I talk about this on the show frequently, things that make you feel small, you know, like ending the Fed. Like, let me find the biggest thing in the world that I could possibly try to end, and I'll pursue that. Or, you know, getting Ron Paul, you know, to the top of the American political system. I mean, these are things that make people feel small and non-efficacious and frustrated, and how you've brought it back to, you know, childhood, the family. I certainly learned a lot from the shows you did about school years ago. And that's been a void on my show that I always am, you know, deferring to you and sending people to Free Domain Radio to hear more about, you know, the work you've done with the family has just been spectacular and incredibly insightful and helpful. I think hopefully the things that you know, I'm doing and you're doing in that respect, as far as getting back to the beginning, to the roots, they're complementary to each other. So thank you
for that. Of course, what you talk about is things that people can actually achieve, which is what my main focus. I think it's great to have the theory, great to have the big picture, but, you know, as the environmentalists say, think globally, act local. You know, yes, we want the non-aggression principle, respect for property rights for society as a whole, but what can we do about that in our own lives? I think that's because a lot of libertarianism is like, you know, David and Goliath, but Goliath is the size of Jupiter, and you don't have a slingshot, and, you know, so it's, you know, telling the ant to take on the rhino doesn't do much good, but there's a lot of things that we can do that empower philosophical approaches in our own life, and that's really what I've tried to focus on. But I think if we can orient people to begin to look at the ethics of the situation. I was reading this article about the European crisis. I had to do a lot of political stuff recently. I was at the Libertarian Convention in Dallas talking, and I went to Brazil to meet us to talk there. And they like the politics stuff. I like it too. But I was reading this article on the European crisis. And if you read these things, it was in the Wall Street Journal. Even that bad taste in my mouth would. But all it was opinions. You know, will Angela Merkel do this? Will they give the loans to Greece? Is Spain go for austerity, or will they go for more bailouts? Will Greece leave the euro? It was all just opinions. It's like a soap opera. Like, there's no facts anywhere. There's no ethics. There's no morality. There weren't even any numbers. It was all just speculating what bureaucrats and politicians are going to do. And they call this news? It's gossip. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is very, you know, TMZ, Access Hollywood, and sort of fawning after these, you know, people because, they, you know, just worshipping people for their celebrity. It's, you know, for their power in politics.
It's been said for many years that, you know, politics is showbiz for ugly people.
Yes.
And the Wall Street Journal is just People magazine with pretensions, you know, with a smaller font. Which is weird because it's for older people. But anyway, I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, if you actually take away all the big words and everything that's going on, it's a school now. You know, Jamie said that you said that when you were going out with this guy, that you didn't really think it was going to be going out with this guy, but it was some other guy that you were. This is what the level is that we're at. It's just schoolyard gossip, you know, with massive amounts of money. But that doesn't change the basic interaction that we're just trying to read the chicken entrails of the opinions of bureaucrats and calling it. Having any kind of control or any kind of reality.
Right. Now, when it comes to the media today, because I look at it a lot, in a couple weeks ago, I stopped doing this because people just did not care for this advice. But I said,
oh, wait, sorry. I thought we were going to do that annoying sound from that movie.
Which one?
Dumb and Dumber?
What's the sound?
Anyone around the sound? No,
then
I. Sorry, can I just see your audacity script there? And I just it's too blue to be recorded. By the way, if I'd been at karaoke last night, this is what I would have sung. Anyway, sorry.
You know, I kind of lost my train of thought.
Victory! You're talking about something that you don't do anymore,
yeah.
Just have me on your show ever again. I think that's good.
I'm glad we can keep things loose tonight. If you're just joining us on LRN.fm or you're picking us up on the radio or
not broken.
or satellite radio, this is School Sucks Live. We are at the 2012 Porcupine Freedom Festival. We are talking to Stefan Molyneux of freedomainradio.com. And one last quick question. What I was telling people that they should do, especially people who are really in this community and their friends, the people that they're talking to, get out there and see what's going on in this mainstream media. You know, like 1 or 2 hours a week. If you're interested in reaching out to people who are unfamiliar with these ideas, it might be good to see what people are talking about. Do you recommend that, or do you?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I'm afraid because I have a 3-year-old and I'm stay-at-home dad. All my references are children's movies. But you've seen the movie Aladdin. Well, you know, there's a spit in Aladdin where Aladdin is trying to figure out whether he's going to tell Jasmine whether he likes her or not, and the genie says, I know, how about you tell her the truth? You know, he's got this big flashing sign called the truth. This is what I think about with the media. I mean, they're dying, right? I mean, the New York Times is how many hundreds of millions of dollars in debt? We have to go?
Yep.
Okay, well, we'll pick it up.
All right, this is School Sucks Live. We will be right back. All right. We'll finish that story, and then I'm going to switch to Ham. We can switch mid-segment.
Okay.
That way you get a peek.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's important. I'm a podcaster with an ego. Because nothing feeds your ego like being a podcast. Someone downloaded it? Cool.
Stefan's going to do another half segment, and then we're going to bring up Pam. She'll probably do a segment and a half with us, and then we'll open it up to, you know, anybody who wants to come on.
All right, welcome back to School Sucks Live. This is your host, Osborne. With me tonight is the very sexy Brett and the mighty Stefan Molyneux, the largest philosophy podcast in the world, which I've often wondered, is that like the prettiest Denny's waitress? Like what?
It's the taller than Mickey Rooney contest, which nobody under 40 is going to get that joke. But
gotcha. Okay. So, are there any other philosophy podcasts out there?
There are, they're not as big. because what they aim for is different. What they aim for is quality and accuracy. There's no market for that. I've taken a different route. Actually, it's quite the opposite route, I think. We were just talking about mainstream media. Yeah, they're all dying, right? So, New York Times, how many hundreds of millions of dollars in debt? is the New York Times. It's crazy, right? I mean,
going out of business.
Going out of business. I think I just read like 700 journalists got fired over the last month or two in the American media. I mean, they're just dying because they haven't listened to the genie from Aladdin, who says, "Hey, how about you guys just start telling the truth?
Right?
How about you just stop propagandizing, stop spinning, stop sticking your noses up the butts of politicians, and actually start telling the truth?" And well, you can get the truth, like you can get the truth about foreign policy from certain left-wing media, but you can't get the truth about domestic policy, you can't get any truth about the public sector unions from the left-wing media. From the right-wing media, you can get a little bit of truth about the problems in domestic policies, but you get no truth about the military and the overseas, and none of them are ever going to talk about the Fed, because to talk about the Fed requires that you read a couple of articles. And that's a lot of work for mainstream reporters because, I mean, they've got makeup, hair, agents, fluffers. Is that the right term? Hey, anyone who laughs, hey, pervert.
All right. Represent!
Represent, brother. All right. I don't know what the term means, so maybe you can show me later. He's got lots of cameras. Fortune.
Sorry. So I believe I read that... more and more Americans are getting their news from sources like The Daily Show and Conan O'Brien. I think that speaks to what it is that you're describing there, because these guys are, they package it like humor, but what they're actually doing is stripping out the actual truth of what's going on.
Yeah, like, so J.P. Morgan was just, the guy who went to the Senate, he got cross-examined, you know, which basically appears to be a squeeze massage at a smoothie. Right, so you got cross-examined by the senators, and they're all like, "Well, you're just so fabulous. I mean, can I just, I want to sniff your shoe. I'm going to wear my underpants on my head to just sniff how great you are. Your underpants would be better, but they're being used at the moment." And it's because these guys give the most money to re-election campaigns. So nobody's going to piss this guy off. And so The Daily Show makes fun of this, like, "Well, that's not good." But then they don't say that the system is bad. This is the problem with The Daily Show.
Yeah.
You know, they're just bouncing around in the matrix saying, "Well, this was pretty hypocritical. I can't believe a conflict of interest here. Isn't it funny that these guys weren't as aggressive as they thought?" And all this kind of stuff. Like, there's this one great segment on public sector unions who hired people to carry their signs around. Oh, it's genius. They hired people to carry their signs around. And they found out that the guys who were the union hired weren't getting any benefits, were getting minimum wage, you know, they were completely exploiting the work that they were hiring to carry their science, because, you know, it's a lot of work. Look, man, oh man, I'm burning. But they won't point out that the whole system itself is corrupt. They won't point out that the whole system is based on the initiation of force, that we live in a murder-based society, that all the laws are just opinions with guns, and the entire system needs to be examined from the ground up. So they're like the fool in King Lear's court, or the fool in the medieval court. He's allowed to make fun of the king, he just can't make fun of the system. Because the king can, the aristocracy can survive, the king is dead, long live the king. We got the bad king out, the story of Macbeth. Let's get rid of the bad king so we can get the good king. That they can all survive, but they can't survive questioning the aristocracy of The Daily Show won't touch that.
Yeah, I think that that's true. And I think that another interesting aspect of the mainstream media is that people don't go there to learn new stuff. They go there to feel comfortable about what they already believe.
Confirmation bias.
Yeah, absolutely. So you look at how tailored the media is to different political viewpoints that are available, and people only go to those sources that make them feel comfortable for that reinforcement. So I think that even though maybe print media are disappearing, the television, the MSNBC, the Fox News, I think we'll see that stuff for a while. I think that was different.
Well, but I think that's also a generational thing. I mean, the MSNBCs, they're all doing really badly. Fox News is doing well, but, I mean, their demographic is like three heartbeats away from ending.
Right.
Right? So I think that's going to die, and I think that, you know, what they used to call Rush Limbaugh's followers ditto heads?
Yes.
That's not a good sign that you're getting any kind of stimulating media. I mean, one of the things that makes libertarians and voluntarists and so on such stone geniuses is we are constantly exposed to ferociously wrong information, to unbelievably immoral and bad arguments, and we have to overcome those. To be intelligent, you have to consistently expose yourself to the opposite of what you believe, to sharpen your instincts, right? I mean, most people, they think that they've learned something because they've listened to something they already agree with, That's like, you know, thinking you've won a title fight because you've been shadow boxing. I mean, all you've done is practiced a little bit, got nowhere. But we're, I think, much more smart because we are constantly exposed to opposite arguments, and yet we can still sharpen and sustain our position. And that is something that is you know, you want the swimmer who's practiced against the current, not who's swum with the current that doesn't have any muscles.
And if people haven't, you know, people, if you're new to this, it's a fun exercise to, I mean, not like maybe real time with real
life. Play the devil's advocate
position. Sure. But to, you know, fill up a playlist of things that you really disagree with. And listen to them and pause it every 3 minutes. So I'll take 3 hours to listen to...
3 hours?
Dude, what?
That's a bad trip. That's a long time. Wow. You're like somebody... And for me, it's like going like a pole dive. You know, like, I can go down. Like, I can't take it. I gotta get 3 hours. Man, you were like an amphibian.
Well, no, I think I get stuck in certain thought patterns, and it's, sometimes it's hard to generate fresh ideas. So I'll throw on my iPod like an episode of Real Time with Bill Maher, the HBO show.
Oh, right.
And I'll take, and it's an hour show.
Yeah.
Plus he does this overtime 10-minute thing, internet only. So maybe in those 60 minutes, if I'm just pausing it every 2 or 3 minutes to say, let's pretend that Brett Bonnard is on this panel.
What would Brett Bonnard say?
And then, you know, kind of talk my way through. Sometimes it's not just all empty fluff rhetoric, but sometimes somebody will say something that sounds like it makes a lot of sense. And it's a good exercise to pause it and say, okay, go through it and act as if, you know, I'm not talking out loud like to the person in my head, but just to say, if I was there, this would be my response. This is how I would deconstruct what sounded very believable, you know, very convincing. I find that to be a good exercise, and it also can help generate new ideas. So,
well, then we get into those debates quite a bit with people who hold those positions, so it's really good to know how to overcome them in ways that don't alarm people too much, right? I mean, you know, it's a big red pill. We hope people will take it orally. Not necessarily always the case. Sometimes you have to say it's a pretty red horse, and it may fuck a little, but, you know, get it in. Sorry, can I just linger on that metaphor? Everyone, all the men just went. But, you know, I'm a deep expert, so how do you talk about these things? Sorry.
Well, I just want to say it's been great to have you here. I'm really glad you walked in at the perfect time. And
are you even gladder than I'm walking out at the perfect time?
This has been
it was a real pleasure. It's a lot of fun.
So
thanks to the audience. Thanks for coming to PodFest. I say this to people who came before, but hi, Lauren. It's good to see everyone.
So, your website, freedomainradio.com, you want to just plug all the video stuff one more time as far as YouTube? And
oh, yeah. So, it's youtube.com/freedomainradio. You can subscribe. I try and throw a video up every day or two. And you can also catch me on other shows. I do other people's shows quite a bit, so I'm all over.
You are really the king of guest hosting, maybe, too.
I am. I am ubiquitous. I'm going to throw that word in. last story. Do I have one last story?
We can do one.
Okay, so do you remember a guy named Chaz Palminteri? An actor?
Yes.
Anyway, so I've been feeling like him a little bit lately because he was saying that he went to a movie and there was three trailers with him in the movie. And the guy in front of him in the movie theater said, "Man, this Chaz Palminteri, he's everywhere." And so, of course, he leaned forward and said, "You got a problem with him." Which is nice, like that, no complaints.
All right, everybody, let's hear it for Stefan Molyneux.
Thank you.
This is very important. We're actually going to just switch guests in the middle of... No, we're not, because there's our music. When we come back, we are going to sit with a public school teacher who probably has some criticisms of some of the things that... talks about on School Sucks Podcast. I'm Brett. With me is Jason and all of you wonderful people. Let's hear it for you.
Yay! Yay! Yay!
Jason Osborne.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. School Sucks Live. We're right
back. I think it's
so you're doing a show without me?
We replaced you with some shit. I know, you would be the guy who would do that.
Can
you say it?
It's really stupid.
We're going to do a sentence with Pam, and then it's Juanjo.
Jason.
No, it doesn't matter. It all is shit.
It's all shit?
No, it all just shit. It crapped the whole computer crash.
Well, I'm glad I could ruin your show even when I'm not on.
So, I never plugged it.
It was the, did you plug it in problem?
All of the steps, right? All of the things in the checklist.
Calm down. Go to the little town setting on the desk.
What? Wasn't plugged in.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my god.